Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the May 24 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. Our panelists today include Jim McCormick of Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois, Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain in Gallatin, Tennessee, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Corey Bratlin. He's at Kleiss Commodity Advisors. He's their chief grain strategist from Willow Lake, South Dakota. Welcome to the program, Corey. Thanks for being with us. Your first time here. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you very much, Todd. Happy to be on here. So, yeah, I'm a chief grain strategist with Kleiss Commodity Advisors. That's Al Kleiss. He's been on your program in the past. I'm located in our branch office up out of Willow Lake, South Dakota, which is kind of the northeast corner of the state between Watertown and Huron, kind of the eastern third part of the state. So I grew up on a family farm, still actively participate in that. My prior year before Kleiss Commodities was I was a grain trader with Cargill out in the country elevator. So that's brings me to here, and I've been hooked on with Kleiss Commodities for going on 11 years now.
And how long were you a grain trader for Cargill?
I was 12 years with Cargill.
Right. And what do you have on your list that we ought to discuss for the day?
Well, I'd like to just start out by number one, just talking about, you know, the action in the market here today. We had stronger overnights just with some funds buying, adding to their fund length, just talking about the increase in potential demand from China. And then we get the announcement from President Trump about canceling the summit with North Korea. And I think it just kind of sent some shockwaves in the market and just had that uncertainty factor out there that caused the market to kind of sell off. It tried to bounce back, but then, we saw crude oil and then corn and soybeans and eventually wheat all kind of eventually trade negative on the day. And boy, kind of left our charts a little bit vulnerable here now on the day. And I think it's just a great reminder of this flight to quality, and a little bit of market news like that can really spook the market.
And we'll get to more of that in just a bit. Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain in Gallatin, Tennessee. I like your list, but first I want to know why it is you decided to move from Chicago to Tennessee.
We joked off the air that it was because the Illinois basketball team has been so bad for so long. that's not the real reason. Everything from weather to outdoor activities. I'm big into bass fishing. They've got a lot of that down here. And just a little change of scenery for the family. We really like it down here so far.
Excellent. Well, we're glad that you're still on board with us. And I know we're proud to have you as an alumni from the University of Illinois, too. So what's on your list of items to discuss for the day?
Oh, I would say the first thing would be the corn situation into the 18-19 marketing year. USDA tells us that things are going to tighten up fairly drastically in terms of carry out, both globally and domestically. I think that's partially what's driven the market. The other thing that should be discussed more short term is that we posted double tops in both November soybeans and December corn today. December corn equaled to the tick its high from last summer, and November soybeans got within one tick of its high, which was a little bit more recent. But we ran into some technical resistance here today, certainly.
Jim McCormick from Allendale, anything from your list we ought to add?
Oh, pretty much. I agree with Joe. I like to talk about the corn stocks. I think that's a situation that really needs to be looked at. But the other thing I like to look at just is this bean situation export-wise and this China influence in, will they take delivery of the beans? Will they not? The political ramifications, one minute looks like we've got to deal with the Chinese, and then the next minute we get this North Korea deal, and it kind of shakes the market up. And I think, there's some story to be told on these beans that could really have drastic input on the price one direction or another.
And Bill, I think we've taken most things up. We didn't get to the acreage for the report at the end of June. Oh, wait, I just did that. Anything else? Yeah. Otherwise, straight in on what you've got to say in his assessment.
No, I think, focus, as some of them have said here, on the corn. I think that's very important. And just, we've got a pretty active next 45 days here coming up between now and 4th of July, and that's, you know, how do you approach it from the farmer standpoint as far as this market? Because I guess I expect to see some volatility.
Well, why would you expect that? Is it just a weather thing or something else?
Well, I think we've got the weather. I think we've got this political situation. As was mentioned earlier, we saw today how closely the trade is watching the news concerning the China-U.S. situation and how that all ties in with the North Korean summit that was planned. I think the trade is just basically watching every word that comes out of that situation and trading accordingly. And I think that added to some of the corn situation that's been mentioned already could cause, you know, some volatility as we go into the critical part of the growing season here.
Does this mean that you'd prefer the producers for corn and maybe for soybeans too have some targets set and maybe some cash points at which they make sales in the month of June?
Oh, yeah. I think that we should have been and have been selling into this market all along in some kind of a scale-up program. But I also believe you need to have you know, some levels that you're willing to sell, and if you go above that level, you need to have some kind of protection, either through some kind of a call spread, bull call spread, or you use puts to lock in the floors, some kind of option strategy to protect yourself, because I think as you go into this next this June period, you don't know whether it's going to be a situation where you're just starting the rally here and it's going to continue, or whether we're, entering the later stages of the rally and this is it, you know, a 16-type year versus a 2012-type year.
Well, Joe Vaklovic, you did mention some double tops that were put into the corn and the soybeans today, a reversal on the daily charts for corn as well. Are you of a mind that this is the beginning of the end, or is it just a midpoint?
No, not at all. I think it's a technical correction. Funds are heavily long the corn market and the soybean market. We've got a three-day holiday weekend coming up. I suppose the fact that they may take some chips off the table ahead of that weekend is not totally surprising. I wanted to say something about the China headline. I don't think that anybody actually thought for a minute that China was going to go through with these tariffs. I don't think that anybody thought that it was going to be a deal come U.S. harvest. If that was the case, this bean market wouldn't have bottomed at 10. It would have bottomed at like 8.5. I mean, I just don't think anybody ever thought that that was a realistic possibility. I think that the market's been range bound for months, and that's kind of just been the story here. And yeah, the headlines have pushed it around a little bit. But could you imagine if China was actually not going to buy beans come U.S. harvest, what the impact would be on this thing? It wouldn't be like a dollar off the market. It'd be like $2 or $3 off the market. So I think that the headlines have made a little bit too much noise here, maybe, perhaps. That's just my thought on the situation there. And some of the technical stuff short term, I mean, that's what it is. It's short term technical stuff. Doesn't change any of the big picture fundamentals. There wasn't any news here today to drive this little sell off the way I see it.
Jim McCormick, you were wanting to talk about exports to China. We're on that topic at this point. They have been sniffing around, I think, this week for some potential purchases.
They have been sniffing around for this week. We've heard a sale overnight, I think, out of the West Coast. They were saying for August delivery, and there's a couple people saying 5 to 6 loads for new crop. What I've been watching here recently is the old crop shipment pace. It's been way behind pace. With some of these cancellations, we're starting to pick up right now. Right now, we've got about almost 1.9 million tons of beans that have been unshipped. 69 million bushels of that, you know, roughly. So of that, you know, the question is, will they take delivery of all that? China has been really dragging its feet recently, I think they were a little bit hesitant to get them halfway across the ocean and find out this tariff war would ratchet up. I think some people were caught by surprise when they actually, you know, hit that big bounty for the importation of sorghum. So the traders seem like they wanted to hold off a little bit and taking delivery. Hopefully we'll see those shipments start picking back up, because I think that would be a pretty negative surprise to the market if they find out that China just didn't take delivery of these old crop beans and they get piled onto the ending stock. So that's something I'm watching every week on the shipment pace.
Corey out of Kleist Commodities there in South Dakota. I know some of the North Dakota numbers better than I do the South Dakota. So something like 70% of the beans that are raised in North Dakota go out the PNW. I don't know what your area does in those terms. Can you give me some update there and what your thoughts are about the export market to China?
Yeah, no, I agree with Jim there. I mean, his exports out of South Dakota, I mean, we if North Dakota is around 70%, we're probably in that 50 to 60% here out of South Dakota. I mean, we're pretty heavily dependent upon that market. So, and it is a big concern that we've got all these sales stacked on. We're starting to see some of those old crop cancellations, and it's just going to be a heck of a daunting task, I guess, for the USDA to achieve their annual expectations or export inspections. So they're seeing some cancellations. We'll have to continue to monitor. Soybean meal has been pretty robust, helping offset some of that, but we got a pretty daunting task ahead of us to achieve those type numbers. So
you also had on your list today's market action. Why don't you take some of that up in your assessment?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, the double top and corn to the tick, same way with beans within a quarter of a cent, and then we get the reversal. Just, I think it's just that with the funds, they quit buying in here, obviously, and I think it's just a good reminder for our producers that, hey, we're at some pretty profitable levels. We need to consider, making these sales. We need to consider maybe doing some type of fence type strategy up here because, we just never know geopolitical what could happen at any given time. I mean, yeah, this is just a cancellation or postponement of the summit. They just want to, with the hostile threats or actions towards the U.S. here this week, nothing fundamentally really has changed, but I think it just shows us that, that type of news can kind of shake the market. And, we saw a gold market, spike up here decent today, or I shouldn't say spike up, but up, $13, $14 an ounce. So it's just a flight to quality. So, I would be anxious going into 3-day weekends. We're kind of big on, a lot of times we do see a change of trend. I think, just a normal correction in here. I think Joe commented earlier about still these beans have weathered the storm. We've thrown a lot of negative activity or what could have been negative activity to the market with potential tariffs and increase in acres, stuff like that, that really could, if that would all pan out, we could see these beans, a couple bucks cheaper. But, there's some underlying force in here that people find value in here of beans around $10.
Hey, Bill, we talked a lot so far about some of the other outside news that probably impacted the marketplace today. But what if it was just a lot of sales from the farmer side that pushed the market lower?
I think that's a possibility. That's been kind of the trend as we've gone through the move up here. As you move up a nickel or so, and then you see the farmer hit some of his targets, and those bushels get hedged, and you kind of back off a little bit. So I think we definitely still have a lot of old cash corn to move out here when you look at basis levels in the country. So, yes, I think that's a factor as well. I think as we move, you'd ask earlier as far as, my thoughts over the next 30 days or so here. I think the other thing that we're going to get is we're going to get a stocks report at the end of June, and I think that stocks report really has to show us in corn that we have used more than what we had been expecting here on the USDA reports. And if it doesn't, I think that could be kind of negative to the corn as we move into that period of time. So there again, just a lot of things going on, and I think the farmer needs to take advantage of it. I certainly agree with that.
So, Jim McCormick, that stocks report, and we'll know a little bit more about what the livestock sector looks like during the Friday USDA cattle on feed report, which was released during the trading hours on Friday, because of the holiday weekend. But we'll get a better idea what that livestock maybe consumption could look like for grains and oil seeds. What's your thought process about how much has been consumed at this point for corn?
Well, right now, I want to go one other thing, my viewpoint, just a little bit of what happened today. The one thing I've been telling a lot of my customers today is in the United States, it seems like a lot of people like to take these 3-day weekends and extend them into 4-day weekends. I can tell you, my office here, we got about 20 people in our office, half are taking tomorrow off. So I think part of what we saw late in the session day was just a lot of farmers selling, a lot of people taking some money off the table. We saw, you know, we just, in the age of Twitter, we don't know what's going to happen next, what comes out of the White House. So I think a lot of people, like I said, in my office, took some money off the table, said, hey, I'm going to enjoy this 3-day weekend and make it a 4-day weekend. So I think that led to today's little bit of sell-off. We might see a little bit tomorrow, but that's going on. As for the demand for the corn, for the feed side, I lean to think that hopefully we see some decent numbers. I mean, we've fed a lot of cattle. We got all this beef coming at us here, according to all the cattle on feed reports the last couple of months. So hopefully we're going to see a very good demand number for the corn. I'm personally very bullish the corn right now. I think today's a little bit of a setback. You've got projected carryouts right now at about 1.682 billion bushels. You know, this is going to put you at a stocks to use at about 11.5%. This is going to be some of the tightest stocks to use in about 5 years. Your world stocks to use are going to pretty much fall from 227 down to 159 is the projection in just 2 years for world stocks. You drop your stocks to use level. Right now, we're looking at levels potentially, 11.8, 12%. You haven't seen numbers like that, Todd, since the 1970s. So any kind of a hiccup in the price, I think you can see this market flooded with spec money in. What I like to talk to my customers about, look at the lumber market. Not a lot of people like to trade it. There's a reason why. When it goes up fast. And we've rallied, 70% up in the last year. So if you got that kind of money showing into the grain market, it could make it for quite a volatile summer, potentially.
So, Joe Vaclavic, we've stepped into the stocks report. The supply and demand numbers come out before that. They'll help set some of that up. Can you give us your look into those as a crystal ball?
Well, I mean, if you take the USDA numbers at face value, and we're going to knock 500 million bushels off the carryout year over year, you've got to argue that at this point, as we sit here, just ahead of Memorial Day weekend with, a whole growing season and a whole bunch of weather in front of us, we've got greater upside risk in this corn market this year than we've had in any of the last 3 or 4 years, in my opinion. Now, things could change. USDA could be too low on the acreage number. It might not be 88. It might be 89.5. They could be too low on the yield number. It might be 180 by the end of the day and not 174. You could make the opposite argument and say that some of these demand numbers are too low. So there's a lot of things that can happen. I've got a generally kind of a positive outlook for the corn market. I think that the lows are going to be higher, and I think that the highs could potentially be higher than what we've seen the last few years. But again, Mother Nature controls so much of this, and I'll have a much better answer for you come about mid-July.
What do we think, and I'll start with you, Joe, about the soybeans at this point? Farmers tend to hold off, although they've, I think, been pretty good marketers of new crop soybeans. We won't deal with old crop because whatever they've got left is Vegas, probably. But what about marketing of soybeans for this coming year?
Well, if it makes money, it's not wrong. And there's a lot of uncertainty ahead of us. I mean, I mentioned earlier that I don't believe that China's going to tariff U.S. beans. But if I'm wrong and they do, then there's a whole lot of downside risk here. So I think that ahead of the growing season here, if you've got profitable price levels and you've got profitable margins on your farm, I mean, you certainly got to lock those in. And everybody's got a different risk tolerance. If you're a farmer who's got a very high risk tolerance, you can price less and gamble a little bit more. If you're a farmer that's got a very low risk tolerance, you're operating on razor thin margins, you don't have the luxury of gambling that way, and you've got to be a little bit more proactive in regard to risk management. But, in any case, I like making some sales here. I like having a decent percentage of the crop price or hedged in some way, shape, or form ahead of the growing season, because things can change very, very quickly.
Corey, your assessment?
Yeah, no, I agree 100% there. This crop, what's interesting is how the crop got planted. We were kind of talking about delayed plantings, and we got planted pretty fast. So what it amounts to is we know that August, is our month that we make or break the beans in the U.S. So I think, we get stuff priced up in here. On a setback, if we get one, a producer's got to look at maybe buying some out-of-the-money call options just for that what-if scenario if we can, because, reality is demand is still very strong, and if China does would potential, it's a long shot tariff the U.S. soybeans, they're probably just going to go get them from South America. So, I mean, their demand is not getting lower. I mean, it's still very strong. So, and also with the moving on to the corn, I still remain very, friendly to the corn, I guess, long-term. It's just because, like I say, we are pretty dependent on having a 174, 176 type national yield. Granted, we got the stuff planted and a good chunk of the crop is under some pretty good conditions. We have a few pockets here and there, but we have those pockets every year. But the other thing too is we got a lot of the corn planted in a two and a half week period. That means we're going to have about a very last few days of June for the first 10 days of July could be very interesting in watching our weather forecast. So, we're definitely going to be looking at buying some call options just to protect against that for a what if, because, 2012 is not that far away and we look pretty good going into about the middle of June and then all heck broke loose.
Hey, Bill Mayer, 88 million was pretty low for corn acres. Do you think we put more than that in?
Well, I think it's going to end up being about the right number. I think we're probably seeing in the northern part of the Corn Belt, where we had our conference call this morning, and we're hearing a little bit about some switching in the South Dakota and Minnesota, that one belt in Minnesota where the late April snows came, and they're still having some problems there. I don't think it's going to change a lot. I think it could be 500,000 acres on either side of 88. I don't see that that's going to be a real significant change. I think it could have been a change had we had a real early spring and got going, in early April and really ran here in the central part of the Corn Belt. But it was a little bit more delayed and cooler in a lot of areas, and I think that kept us from maybe adding some corn acres that we maybe could have added.
And then, Joe Vaklevic, I'm really thinking about what producers ought to keep in mind throughout the summer months and historically how you might play this out, because there is one other item that's really there. That's the weather, of course. We do have some dry conditions, especially along the Ohio River Valley and then in parts of southern Iowa and northern Missouri.
Weather conditions right now are very inconsequential when it comes to final production, but more so to the markets. The market just doesn't really start to care until you get into mid to late June. And when you do have your weather rally, and you don't always have to have one, but if you do have your crop scare rally, historically, like 8 times out of 10, it's going to top sometime in the middle part of July, early part of July. The old traders at the Board of Trade will tell you got to be short corn on the 4th of July and stay short through harvest. Even in a real bad year like a 2012, I believe we topped out the corn market on August WASDE day. So if you run into a weather problem, just keep in mind the rally doesn't last forever. The market's very, very quick to price in that sort of thing. And this is all kind of just in preparation of what could be a weather rally, certainly not guaranteed by any means.
Corey, before we begin to wrap this up, I want to talk a little bit about how much grain you think is in the Western Corn Belt at this time. Have producers been good at moving old crop, both corn and soybeans? And what are your expectations for the coming year?
Yeah, we actually have been. I've been doing some traveling across, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and whatnot, and I don't see the piles like we normally do have. They've been getting cleaned up. Of course, we do have the P&W market's been pretty good to us here lately, talking to a lot of shuttle car loaders in and around South Dakota and Minnesota, and they're loading out a vast number of unit trains, shuttle trains, out to the P&W for the first time in several years, a good number of them. So that's really taken a lot of the burden, some supplies out of here. I mean, I would say that we probably have got 30% of the crop, of the old crop, maybe 35% of the crop still sitting around in the bins and whatnot. And that's in fairly tight hands, with those guys that are big bins and deep pockets type deal, where they're waiting for that $4.50, $5 cash corn, where they're always sitting on some kind of crop. And beans, I would have to say though, Todd, are probably I'm thinking on 80% sold out. Guys needed that cash flow at the beginning of the year. And soybeans did the trick, and soybeans have been a pretty good commodity here lately, just holding around $9.50 to $9.75 cash for us up here in the Upper Plains. So,
does that give you the idea that there's so much gone, hope that your basis levels will be better in the fall?
Yeah, it will. I mean, we got a fair amount of spring wheat planted in the Dakotas here, North Dakota, South Dakota. So, you know, going back to the acres, I'm kind of in that camp around that 88 million. We're going to be doing our survey here in a couple of weeks, and we've been having a pretty good track record on that. But, you know, I think, you know, basis levels have been firming up. I've had a couple of ethanol plants calling me and paying some edges, you know, 5-8 cents better than what they're posted. So compared to what we were, you know, we've got a lot of country elevators posted in that, you know, on some corn in that 60 under basis, and it's kind of ugly, but that's what reality is for us up here. But we're seeing some ethanol plants looking for corn and paying in the mid 30s. So 20-30 cents better than the country elevator is kind of what we're seeing. So I think that'll trickle into a little bit more crop. You know, elevators, they want to buy that grain as cheap as they can and earn the storage. So if they don't buy it, they can't earn the storage. So
Bill Mayer, it is time for us to begin to wrap up the process here on Commodity Week. Let's start with you. Your final word for the day.
I'd just like to remind the producers as we move into this what I feel is a critical period here coming up, that, you know, if we look back 3 or 4 months ago and we look at the prices we were dealing with, we didn't have a lot of opportunity there to use options-based strategies. We're up at levels now where we do have some profitability. We do have some ability to take some of that and use it to give us some flexibility on our marketing. So we're in a real good situation right now, I think, that we are at levels that are pretty decent here profitability-wise, and our volatility on the board is not that bad yet, so the options are pretty fairly priced. So I think now's the time to kind of sit down and make the plans on how you want to approach this thing, rather than 3 weeks from now whenever, you know, everything I believe is going to be happening. So, you know, take some time, sit down, look at what types of strategies might work for you, you know, whether it's making sales and protecting with call options or using puts to lock in some floors. Whatever that might be, now's the time to get it set up here.
Jim McCormick from Allendale, your final word for the day?
My final word for customers or producers out there, you know, we've had a couple tough years economics of producers. We know their cash flow has been tight. Their balance sheets are getting tight. With this run we're getting, we're finally be able to heal it up a little bit. And I'm going to encourage them to take advantage of it. You know, everyone says, I want higher prices. We're finally getting it. Beans are very profitable. So don't be afraid to market. Then use the board. The board's there to spread the risk out. You can sell grain, cash, HTAs, do different types of products with the elevators, and you might come back in and re-own the ownership of the options. I do, like I said earlier, I am pretty friendly corn. I do think we have some potential upside. There's just not a lot of room for error. But farmers need to take advantage of it, because the fact of the matter is, as bullish as we could be right now, the weather could turn on a dime. 1 minute it's bullish, the next minute we got a rain forecast, and it's over with, and you do not want to turn away profitability when you have the opportunity. So make sure you take advantage of it.
Joe Vaklavic, your thoughts?
It appears as if large money managers are more interested in commodity markets than they've been in a long time. If you take a look at some of the major commodity indexes, I watched the Bloomberg Commodity Index. It posted its highest trade in 3 years just this week or last week. So there is when you look across the complex, you look at the energies, you look at the grains, you look at some of the softs, there's definitely some interest here. I think part of it has to do with the stall that we've seen in the U.S. stock market after just years of the stock market being a cash cow, essentially. That's kind of over and done with here for the moment. But, you know, as we come up on Memorial Day, there's more uncertainty right now than ever, because we're just getting into the weather market. We're just getting into starting, you know, to talk about new crop production. I like the markets. I'm probably more friendly than I've been in a while, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't cover your bases and take this opportunity to make sure that you turn this into a good year.
And finally, Corey Bratlin from Kleiss Commodity Advisors.
Yeah, it's going to sound a little bit like a broken record here, but manage your risk. You know, keep some upside open on some of your bushels, have some floors in place. You know, it's not just, you know, grains, it's commodity as a whole. I mean, crude oil being above $70 a barrel definitely helps corn and soybeans and wheat stay well supported. You know, keeps the commodity funds index, or commodity funds interested in the stuff too. Also, just, you know, food for thought here is just keep an open mind here on some new crop 2019 corn. You know, 420 is decent levels here today. It might be some decent levels for folks for next year too, as a good place to get started.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Listen to the whole of our program online at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, Jim McCormick of Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois, Joe Vaklubek of Standard Grain in Gallatin, Tennessee, and Corey Bratland of Kleist Commodity Advisors out of Willow Lake, South Dakota. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.